We're live on Jaguars.com from the Florida Blue Health and Wellness Practice Fields outside of Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. 2014 rookie minicamp just about to get underway. Gorgeous day for it. The fans are out, and it's finally here, John. Some real football.
And a word of warning to you and the fans, maybe sporting the sunglasses after a while. It's not a pretty look.
No.
It's pretty necessary.
Yeah, no doubt about that today.
It is a great day, great weather, and if you know fans aren't here, can get here. It's a neat day to be here.
Here, of course, most people here to see the debut of Blake Bortles, the number 3 overall pick. He'll be on the field, actually is on the field right now doing some warm-up, and it'll be the first chance for a lot of folks to see him in action. We'll be joined by Jeff Darlington, NFL Network, coming up in just a moment. Mark Long from the Associated Press will join us, too. What are you looking for today, John?
Well, everybody wants to see how Blake Bortles throws and all that, but, you know, it's really just sort of the energy out here, I think. Yep. You know, I'm not sure how much you're going to see from Blake Bortles, from Allen Robinson, from Marquise Lee, but a chance to sort of see what it's going to be all about, to get a look at this guy in a Jaguars uniform for the first time. I think everybody's excited about that.
Let's bring on our first guest for the day from the NFL Network, Jeff Darlington. He joined us on Jaguars.com Live a couple of weeks ago, coming in the middle of us here, Jeff. And he is always the best-dressed man in media. Great to see you again.
Just, you know, compensating for my lack of knowledge.
Sort of a mainstay on this program.
I am. We're a league of quarterbacks, and we are a network of quarterbacks. So he'll be around a lot these days.
Obviously following Blake Bortles for the most part today. There are some other playmakers on this team that the team just drafted, but you got to follow Bortles, right?
It's all Bortles. Yeah, I mean, anytime a team invests a third overall pick in a quarterback, you got to find out what he's got. And we're not that we're going to know after today, but I'm sure some of us will try to jump to those conclusions.
And we haven't talked to you since the draft, Jeff, but any thoughts overall on the Jaguars, the pick of Bortles, just a general feeling? You were here most of the week.
I thought it was a great draft for him. I think that anytime that you can combine need and value, I mean, that's obviously all you can ask for, and I think that that's what the Jaguars were able to do by, first of all, acquiring Bortles with the third overall pick, but then stepping up and getting Marquise Lee, who might be the steal of the draft. When you consider you got him in the second round to add to the what you did in the first with Bortles, I mean, I think that's a fantastic pickup, and you know, I think that'll go a long way, and whatever happens with Justin Blackmon, I think that that will definitely alleviate some of those concerns.
And did you correctly read David Caldwell's poker face?
Not even close. He does have a poker face, man. And because all week he was joking around with me about who are you going to talk about today? You know, Khalil Mack, Robinson, Johnny. Every time I saw him, Johnny Football. And he had a really nice poker face. And the one thing I'll say about it, the one thing I really respect about it, is when you have conviction in a pick. And when you have the third overall pick, and I think I was saying this to you guys maybe the last time we spoke, when you have the third overall pick, and you believe a guy is your franchise quarterback, go get him. Don't worry about it. A lot of people say, well, you could have probably traded down and gotten Bortles. Well, what if you didn't? And you had conviction in that guy that he's going to be your starter for years to come. You know, retrospectively, 5 years down the road, if he's that guy, you would have given up even more than a third overall pick to get him.
Right. If you like the guy, take
him. Go get him.
And is there anything to that? If David talked him up a little more, Bortles, I get the feeling that if David talked him up even privately, then maybe all of a sudden these mock drafts have him at number 3.
That's why
it was such a surprise, because he didn't talk.
And I'm sure that's a really frustrating aspect to a lot of these general managers. And that's probably where I would credit or blame, I don't know which word you want to use.
Blame's good.
At the fan part, at the draft party,
right,
when there was it was booze. I mean, there were legitimate booze when they announced – when they brought up Dave Caldwell to talk about the Bortles pick. And I think that that is the result of and I'm speaking from one of the people who hype a lot of these guys up, but the result of the media-driven hype. Look, I continue to stand by this. No one around draft time has any reason to tell the truth. And if a reporter goes out there and reports what's true, they're burning their source.
Right.
And if they don't, they're hyping people up that aren't necessarily worthy of the hype. So a lot of times, and I talked to Caldwell about this after the fact, a lot of times you are, as a GM, you're trying to prop up the guy you don't want.
Right.
And that's potentially what happened here.
And it's literally forgotten 2 or 3 days after the draft anyway.
Of course it is. And that's why I'm more of a subscriber, despite I'm sure this doesn't go over well with my employers who pay me to talk about things before the draft.
They're not watching this anyway. Don't
give me the list of guys who were drafted the day afterwards, and let's talk about them then, because beforehand, I understand it's important and it's fun. I just It goes back to the idea of really wanting
to
know.
That's all it is. It's fun. Right.
Jeff Darlington, NFL Network. We're going to step out of the way so we can get a shot of the noose drill over here and still talk over it.
Exactly.
Jeff, you know, you mentioned we were talking about Bortles the whole time, most of the time here, but you briefly mentioned Marquise Lee and, of course, Allen Robinson. The Jags traded up to get him. Yes. It's important to have some kind of rookie tandem at wide receiver, and those guys can kind of grow together, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Look at this. Day one, these guys are going to be out here starting to build the chemistry and the connection. And look, I really do believe that chemistry is important, and especially at that position. When you're talking about timing, you're talking about just trying to be able to read what that – you got to be able to read each other's minds. And I think that when you start day one with something like that – and again, you don't just do it to do it. I think the beautiful part about this situation is you did it in a way that you acquired, at least in terms of Marquise Lee, a guy that seemingly belonged in the first round.
What's your experience with wide receivers, Jeff? I've always said, and most GMs will tell you, I think, that it's not really realistic to think they're going to come in and be developed players first 8 weeks, maybe even first 16 games of the season. Ever had anything go against that, or is that what you've seen?
I think that's generally what we've seen. I mean, there's some freaks out there who do differently, but even if you look at someone like Dez Bryant, a guy who, by all means, was NFL-ready when he came in, he took time, too.
Much more polished now.
Much more polished now. So, yeah, it's going to take time. And one of the things we were talking about on NFL Network, and this pertained to Bortles, but it can extend to Marquise Lee, is that the Jags are at least in a nice situation where it's not like Cleveland where they've got an organization that is notorious for losing. And I understand the Jags' history, short history, has not been all that great, but Cleveland is notorious for losing, and they just drafted a quarterback who's notorious for being in the spotlight. So that's going to put some pressure on the organization, whereas here you're going to get a little bit of a more of an organic leeway in terms of bringing these guys up and developing them.
And how rare is that? I mean, it's been talked about a little around here that to have the backing of ownership and to have two guys, Caldwell and Bradley, who have basically been told, we want you to build this right. Don't worry about the short term, you know, don't worry about squeezing out two wins in a month. Let's worry about this over the long term. A lot of owners say that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It seems real here.
It's not rare to hear it.
Right.
In fact, you always hear it. but it's a little bit differently. It's a little different when week three, things have gone down the tube and ownership saying, really? Like, what? You drafted a guy third overall and he's not in?
Right.
There is a very clear level of conviction, and it's the reason that they brought Chad Henne in here. They've got Gus on board. They've got Dave on board. The cons both recognize that this is going to be better. And again, I mean, as much as anonymity is never really a good thing in the NFL, in this situation, it actually sort of is the fact that you've got a quarterback who had a largely anonymous college career, a team that generally flies under the radar. It allows you to set the stage for what you eventually want to accomplish. You're going to face a little bit of local pressure, but nationally, I don't think that you're going to face the same kind of scrutiny that a Cleveland will, or even to maybe a lesser degree Minnesota with Teddy Bridgewater. This is probably, you know, on the opposite end of the spectrum, where Bridgewater might be somewhere in the middle.
It's as low key as you could possibly imagine for the first quarterback taken in a draft.
Oh, I mean, think about that. The third overall pick is a quarterback, and he's going to be probably have the least amount of pressure on him his rookie year than the other guys drafted.
Which, as you said, is very much by design.
They very much
set that up.
But I think that if you had gotten Johnny Manziel with that third overall pick, it wouldn't be. I think, like I said, it's by design, but it's also organic in the sense that you're talking about a quarterback who was largely unknown until this past year at that position.
Jeff Darlington with us, NFL Network. We're live on Jaguars.com from rookie minicamp, just minutes away from noose drill beginning, then stretch, then some positional drills, and then some teamwork. We understand we won't be able to show the teamwork today. We'll go up to the teamwork right here on Jaguars.com. You've been around a handful of rookie minicamps in your day, I'm sure, Jeff. What do you really gather out of a couple of days of rookies on the field? First of all, half of them aren't going to be here in two days. Right?
More than half. I mean, like, it's well, maybe not in 2 days, but by the 53 man, and we were talking about maybe 12, 13 of these guys. So don't go out and buy the jerseys just yet. But it is fun to come out and see football being played. Yeah, I think it's important for these guys because the speed is so important. You hear rookies say, what's the biggest difference in college? It's the speed. But I always love the rookies get out of here and like, man, I got this. The NFL's not so bad. And then the veterans come out, and it's like those guys, you look at them, and they just look like white. I mean, like ghosts. Just fear of God has been placed into them. So it's nice for them to come out, get a little acclimated to the vibe out here before the big dogs come out and scare them into their holes.
Yeah, the good rookies are still the best players on the field this weekend. In a couple weeks, that changes pretty dramatically.
It changes completely. You'll see some flashes out here, and then you just have to see them with the veterans. But for all intents and purposes, at this point, it's about watching one man, and that is Mr.
John
Blake Bortles.
Bortles. Gotcha.
Blake Bortles.
I misread.
In the new drill as we speak, Jeff. As a member of the national media now, do you like the vibe out here? The fans are here. The music's on. This isn't normal around the league, is it?
We were joking before. If they drafted the offensive tackle, I don't think that you'd be filling the stands quite like this. But I mean, it's a Friday to see this fan base out here. I think that speaks to, first of all, we talked about at that draft party, people a little bit hesitant to cheer, a lot of boos. I think that it only took a little bit of time for them to step back and realize that, hey, maybe just because we didn't hear about this guy, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe that's the reason we were able to get him where we did, and now you're kind of seeing that support.
Well, there's an awful lot of trust over the first couple of years built up in Dave Caldwell.
Yeah.
And I think from you dealing with him a little bit, you can certainly understand why. He does have a plan, seems to be sticking to it.
Yeah, and I knew Dave, too, before when he was with the Falcons, and he was a very stoic guy there as well. And I think the combination of Gus Bradley and Dave is what is really nice. I mean, these are two, I don't want to say laid back, because that often is synonymous with lazy. I mean, because Gus Bradley cannot be called laid back per se, but he's such a cool, like, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's necessarily stressed out. So he's energetic.
He gets it.
And I think that Dave is also a really calming influence. The guys here are going to want to play for them. And I saw Shad Khan saying recently, I think it was just this week, that you're not going to have any paid vacations anymore. And I think that that's very true, because you're not going to have guys out here with Gus Bradley out there. And not because he's going to inspire you, not just discipline you.
Shad's good for a subtle jab now and then. That was a good
one. Isn't he? He is, man.
That was a solid shot across the back.
He's come out with a lot of them if you really go back already. I mean, I think even MJD got a shot in there early on.
A little bit.
But, yeah, I appreciate that. Nothing like a candid owner. And why not? If I had billions of dollars and this was my house, I'd say whatever I wanted to.
Well, it's a fun organization to cover. And Jeff, as again, a national guy, you've talked to him about the transparency and about, you know, just the ability of this team to sort of maybe change its image a little bit. And it seems like that's being the case right now.
It feels like it, and I know that nationally you're still not going to get that, because you're not going to get a lot of guys taking trips here, and I got the luxury.
Sure.
And I think that a lot of my media brethren would laugh at the word luxury to describe a week in Jacksonville, but it really was. And I think that I left here recognizing that, so remember this, you know, when you guys are on your playoff run and all the national media is here, I want to be on the record as the guy who was here first, because I don't want to, you know, get run out of town.
It's been noted.
It's been noted twice, actually, on Jaguars.com Live. Jeff Darlington joining us. I know you have a busy day. Thanks for your time.
Cool. Thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
Awesome. Jeff Darlington
from the NFL Network. New drill happening. Blake Bortles throwing for the first time officially as a Jaguars quarterback. The rest of the rookies are getting set for stretch off to our left, John. Always great to visit with Jeff Darlington, who, you know what, it is noted. He's been here from the start through when this thing kind of started. He's always around the building, it seems like, and when this thing turns the right way, he'll be noted for sure.
And I think I don't think he's the first to realize that. We've talked about it. We were at the Senior Bowl a year ago when Gus and Dave first got here, and then we've been at different national events. And it's been interesting each time, each year at the Combine, each time you talk to an Alex Marvez, a Pete Prisco, a Peter King, who we've all had on, you generally get the idea more and more that the media and the fans and the people who are around this team, they're starting to see the right thing, they're starting to see the right signs. We see it every day, so it's not new to us. But sort of each month, each sort of touchstone day in the NFL calendar that we talk to people, more and more you're starting to see, it's not sort of a giggly feeling they have about the Jaguars. It's a feeling of, oh, I'm starting to see the plan. They're starting to get on my radar a little bit more. And I think generally people see that the Jaguars are doing it the right way. As we've talked about, that doesn't guarantee anything. Key guys have to stay healthy. They have to develop. But what you want is you want to put together a plan that makes sense and works and follow that plan. 16 months in, they're doing that.
J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier live from rookie minicamp at the Florida Blue practice fields. Glad you're with us today. You can still come tomorrow, too. Another 1:10 start tomorrow. It's the final day of rookie minicamp. You have to register, jaguars.com/register. They were expecting close to 1,000 today, and it is a packed grandstand on both sides, John, and they're expecting even more tomorrow.
Well, and I think even to that last point, you know, I think the media senses it. I think that's why you have a packed house here today. I get that Blake Bortles is the big deal. Everybody gets that. And people want to see him play. At the same time, I think fans who follow this team more and more, each week, each month, are starting to get that. They're starting to see a good feeling. The fact that the analysts liked the draft, certainly that's a good thing. But I think overall, that trust and that idea that the team's doing things right, I get the feeling that fans are starting to feel that and see that. And this is one of the best energies I've seen around here in 2 or 3 years, this energy today. It's kind of neat.
It is. It's absolutely. No doubt about it. Stretch going on now. They'll do some special teamwork next, then some bag drills, and then go to individual position drills. And that will pretty much wrap up our coverage today. So we've got about 15, 20, 25 minutes or so of live coverage remaining here on Jaguars.com. Mark Long from the Associated Press scheduled to join us. He's standing right by Vito Stellino and Mike DiRocco on the sideline as we speak.
You don't just casually walk away from Vito Stellino, JP.
No, you don't.
I mean, it takes some doing.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Well, he is in the Hall of Fame.
Great media presence here today. Of course, a lot of the Orlando media came up today. I know the UCF Sports Info folks are here and some local TVs and such from Orlando. And that's big for the marketing of this team locally and in this region, too. That had nothing to do with the pick, of course, but it could help out in the future.
Well, I think over time, I don't know that you're going to see a mammoth bump the first year because Blake's probably not going to play a whole lot. But if he develops as you think that he will, and if it grows around him and they start playing at the level the team expects to, then certainly having Blake Bortles as your quarterback in that market, I think will allow Orlando to take what I would think of as a real interest. Not necessarily because of the billboard, not necessarily because you're pushing them down there, but because people in town sort of one by one go, oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, that's the guy that we know. Oh, okay, I get that. And that's really how you build some long-term fans. So, yeah, if he has a 10, 15-year career here, then certainly that could help attach those markets in a way that maybe it hasn't happened before.
9 draft picks, 17 rookie free agents, and 27 workout players here this week. It should be noted there are 3 of the workout players that have NFL experience, but take that with a grain of salt.
Sure.
Those players, it's a 2-day practice. A lot of those guys are here to get bodies on the field so you can run a camp. But
that's I'll check my notes here. That's Greg Childs, wide receiver. Antoine Caldwell, a guard center, played for Houston. And Brian Price, defensive tackle, who was a second-round pick in 2010. So, you know, these are guys who at some point have had NFL pedigrees. But, again, if you're trying out or working out the week after the draft, it's probably best described as a long shot that you're going to be a long-term fit. But 2 years ago, Mike Brown was here on this same basis and has been a contributor for this team. So, oftentimes, the NFL is about getting a foot in the door and about, you know, showing your wares, getting that opportunity. Mike Brown's an example of that paying off.
No doubt about that, and has paid off very well for him. Not only those guys, but the rookie free agents. A lot of those guys won't make the final.
I just motioned Mark Long up here. Did you sense that? That's my little motion.
Is that it's like a writer thing, I guess?
I got some skills, JP.
Okay. But even with the rookie free agents, you know, I think 3 last year made the 53.
Right.
And one of those was Leroy Reynolds, a guy who was undrafted out of Virginia and really showed off towards the end of the season, but got on the roster.
Well, and I think ideally,
come on, Mark.
Come on, Mark. Come on in.
I think ideally, if
between the two giants.
if your team is functioning well, I think ideally Caldwell would like to have a free agent or two make it, even once he gets this roster to where he wants it. Because you want to have guys develop, minimum get some special teams out of your rookie free agents in the lower part of your draft class. Because if you can keep that rotation going, it keeps the roster young, keeps your special teams young and fast.
Jaguars.com live from Rookie Minicamp. Glad you're with us today. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com, senior writer John Osier. Mark Long from the Associated Press is here, too.
And if there's ever been a man who needs no introduction, this might be the guy.
It's this guy. Your first time on our show.
Thanks for having me. You know what? Two things. First off, I'm playing second fiddle to Jeff Darlington. I'm not very happy about that. I just want everybody to know that I don't have the designer suit, don't have the designer shades, don't have the hair that Jeff Darlington has.
This isn't designer?
Hopefully I bring, well, the M does not stand for Mark.
All right.
Well, hopefully I bring something to the table. I will also like to say, in my drive over this morning, just flipping through Twitter, I watched the latest Ozone.
All right.
And I was very impressed. Not only was it very informative, but the effects, like the, I don't know if special effects is the right word, but Godzilla special effects. This is more like...
That's mostly me on the back end.
Well, you know, yeah. You're doing some good work here.
I
like the fact that you threw your boy under the bus a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably a weekly segment, right?
It's a daily segment.
It's a daily segment.
So if you guys haven't seen that, though, check it out. The latest Ozone. It's good stuff.
Mark, I'm curious, before we even get started with some of the players, because there's a limit to how much we can really dig deep. We haven't seen these guys yet. You're a guy who's been around this franchise, I guess, longer than any guy on the beat except for Vito.
Yeah, right? Vito, and if you count Gene Fournette.
Oh.
But, this is year number 11.
But talk about the change that you've seen in the last year or so, because our fans really haven't a chance to hear that from you on
menu. You know, and you and I have talked about it many times, but the big change is up front. You just don't – and I'm not talking about the offensive line. I'm talking about the front office. And from Shad Khan down to Dave Caldwell, right down to Gus Bradley, and then even the assistants, it's night and day. I know there's no comparison for what it was and what it is. It's like taking, going back to our Florida days, and taking Steve Spurrier versus any other coach and trying to compare his humor. I mean, there's no comparison between Steve Spurrier and other coaches at the college level. There's no comparison between this front office and anything we've seen here, but let alone other franchises. I've covered the Miami Dolphins. It's nothing like anything I've ever seen anywhere else. And I talked to a number of people in the league, and it is unique. And it stands alone, and I don't know that anybody right now is even trying to do what they're doing here.
Well, did you
when
think
it works,
you could change
when
that quick?
It works,
sorry, I'm,
when
ahead.
And if it works, I think people will start trying to buy into that. No, I didn't know. I didn't think it would change this quickly at all. I didn't think it was possible to change the entire direction of an organization with two hires, which is essentially what they did. But it's a credit to Shad Khan.
J.P., Shadrick, and John.
We've been here for a little longer.
Gus and Dave, sure. Okay.
It's a credit to Shad Khan for spending a year in the league with his eyes wide open, talking to everybody and anybody he could, and getting a feel for what he wanted as much as what would work. And he did not want or like the dynamic that you had with Gene Smith and Mike Mularkey. That real stoic kind of closed-door atmosphere is absolutely not what he wanted. And if you look, the fans are reacting completely different. The fans have bought in. Yeah, the fans buy in. And how do you not buy into a guy like Gus Bradley? And not only the fans, the players. Talk to players. Talk to players in free agency. Talk to free agents who come in. Those guys, every single one of them to a man, say the number one reason they chose here or wanted to come here was because of Gus Bradley. They've never seen energy like that. They didn't see it at the high school level. They didn't see it at the college level. And they certainly didn't see it at the pro level. And I think in the long term, assuming you get the right guys, I think it's going to make a difference.
And sometimes you hear that kind of thing, and we say it, and they say, well, you're Jaguars.com, you're saying it. But it's interesting, you don't hear anybody in the media who kind of goes against that, if you follow. I mean, when the players are saying that, it really feels like a real thing when they're saying those things.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, we make a lot of fun. I make a lot of fun with Gus about his PowerPoint presentation. But those are effective. These guys respond to it. And am I okay here?
You're good.
All right. And so I think it's interesting not only to see where they're going this year, but where they're going to go down the line in terms of getting players. Because I think this is just the tip of it. I think next year, if they get a little bit better and get a little bit better, and the record starts showing it, then all of a sudden I believe people are going to want to come play in Jacksonville. Not only is it great weather, not only do you have no state income tax, but the coach, I think, is among the top three things that are selling points.
Mark Long is with us from the Associated Press, Jaguars.com, live from rookie minicamp at the Florida Blue Health and Wellness Practice Fields. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com, senior writer John Osier. Let's go with Bortles now. Do you buy that he won't play early for this team? Do you buy that?
Absolutely. I don't know how you can't buy it, because Gus and Dave have been pretty true to their word with everything they've said from day one. So when they say the plan is to not play him, not start him, you know, how do you got to buy it right now. Now then, if his play, his performance is what's going to change that, it's saying the right thing, and then you don't want him to have any expectations. You don't want him to have any pressure from those expectations. So that's why you set the bar really low and you say, listen, he's not going to play. And if it turns out that he totally gets it, looks like he knows what he's doing, and you feel comfortable putting him in, then I don't think there's a real timetable on that. You're just trying to make it so that there's no pressure of expectations with him, and right now there are not.
And Gus's long-term approach, it seems to me, maybe you agree, is really the key to making what you just said real, isn't it? I mean, you can sit there and say all you want, well, a guy's not going to come in with any pressure, but when you've seen Gus operate in that way for 14 or 15 months, I guess he's a guy who could actually pull that off and create that environment for Blake Bortles.
Yeah, he can, and it's because of his energy and the fact that he has the same approach.
Right.
Whether they win, whether they lose, good day, bad day, it is the absolute consistency. And guys, a certain kind of guy responds to consistency. Now, some guys got to be kicked in the butt, and you got to light a fire under them. And Gus is smart enough to realize that each guy you got, that's the key, is
right.
to figuring out what drives this guy. But that approach, that overall approach of consistency and having, the no pressure kind of philosophy, I think will go a long way. Now, again, what I will say, and I've said this before, I'm interested to see how Gus's approach, how the players respond to it in year two,
sure.
and in year three, and in year four, if the results don't follow as quickly as we're expecting them to.
Yeah, and clearly as you go on, something has to back up those results, but I've used the word zen-like with Gus. It's almost the ability to step away from the results and see things in a different way. It's been impressive so far, and as you said, I think year two, maybe not the litmus test. Year three, I think, will be the litmus test with the players if they don't start seeing results.
Yeah, and the owner, obviously, after,
sure.
Year three, what is does Shad Khan start looking at it differently?
Right.
Right now, it's real easy to look at this and say the arrow's pointed up at every position and on the coaching staff and in the front office, across the board, even the media staff from you
right.
and JP, the arrow's pointed up
sure.
on you guys. But,
yeah.
Who knows how that'll look.
Right.
You've been even for a lot of years now, John.
I've plateaued.
I'd be interested to see if that changes in 2015 or even in 2016.
The receivers, Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, obviously, if there's a main story today, the sidebar for this weekend's minicamp is them. And again, just like with a quarterback, it's going to be hard to really get too much of a judgment. But I'm looking at Jerry Sullivan out there. And how much of a factor do you think he can be in maybe the first 2 years of these guys? I'd be surprised if he coaches them much longer than that. But can he leave these guys with the skill set and the direction they need?
Oh, absolutely. I've said this a lot of times. I mean, he's the guy who turned around Cecil Shorts,
right.
made him win him from a non-factor into a leading receiver. He had influence on Larry Fitzgerald. His resume speaks for itself. And I think he absolutely can get the most out of these guys and get them headed in the right direction. He's such a technician in terms of, the form and the function mm-hmm. and those merging the two and getting them to be productive, that I think when guys come in, rookies sometimes, their heads are spinning working
right.
with Jerry Sullivan, because it's not the kind of coaching they've ever gotten. Most of these guys have gotten by on pure, raw,
right.
natural ability through high school and even at college, even at a place at USC or Penn State. Those two guys, I'm sure they got by on just
sure.
raw ability being the best guy in the building. It's not going to be the case here. Their raw ability got them here, but what's going to get them to become a better mm-hmm. or get them to be Cecil Shorts type guy receiver is going to be that attention to detail and the little things.
If a player comes in willing to be a sponge, he can take him a long way.
Absolutely. And I think, go back to Gus. I think Gus and the atmosphere here and the philosophy really plays into that whole thing, being just, this is your job, to be a sponge, learn, and get better every day, and we don't worry about anything else. And, again, it's working right now, and assuming the results follow, I think it's going to be, it's got a chance to be the standard in the NFL. If you go and look at, this is, a lot of this is philosophy brought over from Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks, and obviously they're defending Super Bowl champs. So if it works in Jacksonville, I think, then it's two for two, and everybody else in the league's got to at least consider, are we doing the right things here?
If this works, it's a trend.
Absolutely.
Mark Long is with us from the Associated Press, Jaguars.com, live from rookie minicamp at the Florida Blue practice fields. JP Shadrick with John Osier, glad you're with us. I know you got to get back to the field here in a minute, but on the other position, like offensive line, you're not going to see a lot this weekend. That's not going to happen. Defensively, there's some depth guys that they picked up in the draft. Colvin's not going to play, of course, with the knee. But you look at a guy like Telvin Smith, and you look at a guy like Chris Smith on the defensive line. What do you expect from these guys this weekend, or is it hard to tell?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell, JP. I think anybody in the front seven or anybody in the offensive line, you just have a hard time, you know, gauging anything in shorts from them. You know, they're thumpers, they're pounders, they're hitters. And, you know, the big guys, you just got to, you know, you won't be able to tell anything in OTAs. You got to see them in full pads, in full contact, to really have a feel for how they're going to transition, maybe. To me, the little guys, the cornerbacks and the receivers, are certainly the ones to watch. Blake Bortles, obviously, quarterback. They're the ones to watch, because you can gauge a lot of, from a hand speed technique type thing. And I'll watch Jerry Sullivan. We touched on him. I'll watch Jerry Sullivan and Jed Fish for their reactions to the players as much as I'll watch anything else.
It's always interesting, too, to watch how players react to Jerry. I remember in Cecil's first year with him, JP, I think you and I stood on the sidelines watching him, and Cecil with him every step of the way, and you could tell immediately.
Bought in.
You sort of knew that if Jerry had anything to teach, he was going to teach it. Interesting, watching Allen Robinson, too, today. You talk about a guy who looks like he has some room to add something to his frame and get bigger. He could be that prototypical big receiver that this team hasn't had in a long time, maybe since Jimmy Smith. But he looks like he could get bigger.
Yeah, no question. Stronger. I mean, yeah, much.
Which is a good
thing. He's listed at 215, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's listed at 210 maybe. I wouldn't be surprised if they could get 215, 218 on him and keep and maintain the speed, which is always the key. And, you know, that's always going to help, because guess what? This league, cornerbacks are getting – they're all getting bigger too. So, you know, it's a trend. So, you know, bigger receivers are always a plus.
Mark Long from the Associated Press, we really appreciate your time. Always
great
to visit.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is a designer shirt, by the way. You'll never be able to tell me any different.
Well, it's not quite like that jacket, but, you know.
Mark Long.
Nothing is.
From the AP.
Thank you, Mark.
Always a pleasure to visit with him. First time we've had him on the show, John. And
probably the last, too, JP.
It won't be the last, he says. I don't know about that.
Probably the last time.
It might be.
I think Gene Frenette's next. How about that?
Jaguars.com live from rookie minicamp, the Florida Blue practice field. Special teams work right now. They'll break off into individual drills. The offensive line working on the other side of the field. So it should be coming up. The third period is a 15-minute period of individual position work coming up after this special teams drill here. JP Shadrick with John Osier. Beautiful day for practice.
It is, it
of course,
really is.
First of 2 days here at the Florida Blue practice fields. Jaguars.com/register if you want to come tomorrow. Another 1:10 start for the final day. There's no practice Sunday. Rookies have been in most of the week. That's a new league rule this year. So they whacked off the final day of rookie minicamp. Final thoughts here, John, as we start to wrap this thing up. You know, we go Bortles big. That's obviously the big story today, the number three overall pick.
And he'll be working on footwork and things like that. And I expect if you come out tomorrow, he'll probably get a majority of whatever reps, of whatever stuff that they can give him. Stephen Morris might get a little bit, but he's been very upfront that he knows there's a lot he needs to work on. I imagine with him the learning curve starts right now. And they don't question very much about him. The key will be how he can develop some of the fundamentals. And what he has really talked about is getting his footwork right. He worked and tried to change some things during the pre-draft buildup, which is a little unusual because you want to be at your best during that pre-draft buildup. And he said, I forget what environment it was, but I heard him say this week, he really hasn't committed some of the things that he worked on to muscle memory yet. he believes that once he does, he'll be that much better. So I think that's part of his process now, is making sure some of the good fundamentals that he tried to learn in preparation for the draft turn into things that he can do by default mode when he's under pressure.
This is obviously with the rookies around and actually on the field earlier this week. This camp in the past has been guys kind of running around trying to figure out where to go. There's less of that today, too.
Yeah, it's you get the idea that Gus runs a very high-energy practice, obviously. It's a very up-tempo practice, and there's not a lot of standing around. Last year during this first rookie camp, you got the feeling maybe they were a little bit shocked by that. I don't think – certainly the senior guys won't – I mean, the Senior Bowl guys won't be shocked.
That's right.
But I don't think anybody by this point is shocked. I think they're starting to get it. And, you know, so in that regard, fans coming out should see maybe a little bit of a smoother practice than they did last year when we got caught in some serious rain on that Saturday, remember?
That's right. I do remember that. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com. Senior writer John Osier live from rookie minicamp. The Florida Blue practice field. It's a gorgeous day. It was a little breezy, about 10 to 15 miles an hour today, but a beautiful blue sky, bright sunshine overhead, and the individual position drills about to begin. This will be our final segment of coverage here on Jaguars.com. Glad you've joined us today. We'll be live again tomorrow if you can't make it out. We'll be live again tomorrow right here on Jaguars.com/live.
Take a note to point out new digital guy Dave DeCandis down there, too.
Yes.
I'm not sure if we can get over to him. But
start on Monday.
He'll start on Monday, and it'll be good. We're adding staff to the digital side of it. Should make the coverage even better. But in all seriousness, welcome Dave aboard.
Sure. I guess we can welcome him aboard.
Sure. Why not?
Why not?
Throw him a bone.
I think you just did. So the individual positions doing some work now. The teamwork will begin next. We'll step away for just a moment so Patrick Cavanaugh can get a better shot of what's going on behind us here. Packed house here at the Florida Blue practice fields today. Nearly 1,000 expected here.
And it's a remarkably good crowd. If you can't see it, they're actually lining the ropes over by the end zone for a Friday afternoon at 1. It's a very good crowd.
Expecting more tomorrow.
I need that sort of gig.
No doubt about that.
Of course, I had that sort of gig.
Tomorrow should be an even larger crowd. Same kind of weather expected tomorrow. Same time, same place tomorrow. So make it out if you can. If you won't, we'll be live right here again. We've talked a lot, John, about receivers today, of course. But there's some of the other free agent guys that have been added after the draft. A guy like Hearns from Miami.
Right.
He was a single-season receiving yardage leader in that school's history, which is pretty remarkable to think about what's happened at the U. He's here with his quarterback, Morris. Mm-hmm. They've got a guard that was on that team at Miami that was drafted here in Linder. A handful of Miami guys have coming up on the offensive side to work with Jed Fish this week.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think for both of those, Stephen Morris and Alan Hearns, you know, it's realistically, if you're coming in as an undrafted free agent, particularly at a skill spot on this team, it's probably going to be difficult to make that final roster. I'm not going to say it can't happen because we haven't seen him yet. You're probably fighting for a spot with Mike Brown there, and they like Mike Brown in terms of what he can bring them. So you've got to beat him out. I think Rashad Reynolds, who I'm trying to remember the college, and I'm drawing
Oregon
a blank.
State.
Oregon State, right. And DeAndre Coleman are two guys that I'm really watching for. Craig Loston, the safety from LSU. My understanding is he went back for graduation, so he may not be here this weekend. But those three guys, Reynolds, I think they like a lot, and he makes a lot of sense because defensive backs and linebackers are guys you can sometimes look for to make teams as undrafted rookies because they can run and they can play special teams. And so I'm looking at Reynolds and Loston as guys that it will be worth watching those guys, OTAs, mini camps, certainly the early part of training camp.
You know, another battle that might be interesting to watch going into camp next month or so is kick returner, punt returner. Where does Ace Sanders get back in that role again with these new receivers here? Or does one of the new guys get to go back and return kicks?
You know, it's hard to say. There's a school of thought. I'm not going to say ideally, but there's a school of thought that you wouldn't mind getting Ace out of the situation where he has to play that role all the time,
right,
and maybe put him back there as, you know, when I was growing up, Daryl Green was a guy for the Washington Redskins who they would put back there when they really needed a guy, when they really needed a play. Maybe Ace is a guy you can put back there in spots, but he turned into a pretty valuable player in the offense last year, if you recall. And they used him in, I think it was Caldwell sort of talked about, like a Darren Sproles type role. So they like what he can do. I think Jed Fish could be creative enough with him where you wouldn't have to have him in punt returns. Ideally, you sort of bring in guys at punt return and kickoff return until you find the guy who really just catches your eye, and that's who you want out there. And I'm not sure, Ace last year looked like he'd be very good at it, and it would be interesting to see if he sort of embraces that and they keep going with him this year.
Jaguars.com live from rookie minicamp. J.P. Shattuck with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. Individual position drills happening now, and that will happen for the next 10 minutes or so. And then a group install followed by teamwork after that. And that should wrap up our coverage today. We'll be back again tomorrow at 1 o'clock, a 1:10 start here on Jaguars.com/live. And if you can make it out tomorrow, should be a packed house tomorrow, too. Register online, jaguars.com/register for a free ticket. And you'll be able to get into tomorrow's rookie minicamp practice. And, John, we're coming up on OTAs, next week startup, right?
I think it's when it is. Right? I've been so focused on this, I couldn't even tell you the exact schedule, but it's soon. I didn't help you much there, did I?
No, thanks. You know, but the veterans, it's voluntary, of course. They'll be back for those 10 OTA practices spread out over a few weeks period. And those guys will be back on the field. A lot of them have been out here already doing some work in the offseason on their own. But then the coaches can get on them starting in OTAs.
Correct.
And that'll be a good chance to see a lot of the veteran guys returning. The rookies will be around, too, at the same time.
Well, it'll be interesting there, obviously, to see sort of how these guys mesh in. Remember, a lot of the guys you see in this rookie camp are workout guys. So most of the 27 that were signed, or not signed, but brought in as workout, they won't be here next week, maybe a couple of them. And then you start seeing how some of the rookies are incorporated. I think the biggest thing to watch for early is sort of how the receivers start fitting in. Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, Cecil Shorts. I think they'll look for a while to see sort of who plays what role the best. You would think Robinson's going to be the so-called X receiver, which is where you need some size and you need a guy who can get open at the line of scrimmage. That would seem to be what he would fit in as. Marquise Lee and Cecil Shorts a little more similar, with Marquise maybe being a little faster. But I think they're going to play with those positions because you've got four guys, including Ace Sanders, that when Jed Fish puts together an offense, he usually doesn't go with just sort of those specific roles. He moves a lot of guys around, and it'll be interesting to see how he uses maybe his deepest group that he's had here in 2 years, but by any measure, a very young group still.
Wide receivers here in front of our location, offensive line down on the far end, quarterbacks in the middle of the field, Bortles with Frank Selfo, the quarterback's coach, as we speak. All the defenses on field two, with a defensive lineman on the far right side, linebackers in the middle, defensive backs over to the left.
And as fans watch this, JP, you know, I'm a big water thrower, you know. I like to throw water on things. But in terms of this rookie class, you want to make sure that you have realistic expectations. This has a chance to be a very good class as time goes on. I don't know that it's going to be a class by design that has 4, 5, 6 starters immediately. They don't want that. So I would think that Linder, the guard, Brandon Linder, has a chance, if he plays well, to get in the starting lineup. And you would think Marquise Lee or Robinson, one of those guys. Beyond that, ideally, and I think Dave Caldwell talked about this more than anybody, they would ideally like not to have to force guys into the starting lineup.
Right.
As well as Ace played at times last year, they didn't like having him have to play that early.
Well, that wasn't the plan going
right
in. Yeah, it just happened that way, right.
Sort of the case in the secondary. You really would rather not have to have Dwayne Grotz and Jonathan Siprin playing right out of the gate. That's not ideal. So as you move forward in this build, you've got to start judging draft classes maybe a little bit more on what they do later on in the process rather than in their rookie camp, certainly.
Will that be an adjustment for Dave and Gus when they go look at players and draft? Is that something that...
No, I think they've already done that. I think that's how they...
I'm moving forward.
No, I mean, I think that's how they looked at these first few. I mean, you know, I think that's why... That's been the whole idea. Certainly this year's draft, is more about 2015, 2016 on some level. I don't want to say more about because they want to win right now. But the draft class itself, you generally just don't want to put too much on a draft class in terms of how you're viewing that next season, because it just takes them a long time, certainly a year in most cases, to become what some people in the NFL call factors in winning. And it's just tough to have those guys be just mammoth difference makers. And I know people will always look at rookies like that because they hear about them for 3 months. Right. But the reality is their contribution toward winning is going to be limited at first.
Jaguars.com live from Rookie Minicamp. You're watching position drills. The team portion will begin, we believe, in the next period, about 5 minutes from right now. Bortles and Morris, the two quarterbacks throwing with tight ends in the middle of field one, closest to the grandstand here at Packed House. Nearly 1,000 were pre-registered for this, and it seems like many more than that have arrived today. And as we've talked about this most of the day, you're not going to see a lot in the trenches today. It's just not going to happen. There's no pads. And talking about Linder maybe winning that guard spot, you won't start to find that out until closer to camp and into deeper into camp.
Yeah, that's all projection. And you know, much is the case, I think Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley both tell you, that's sort of facing Brewster too. Yep. You know, Mike Brewster right now you would think is a starting center. And that'll be the case all throughout OTAs. I think he'll be talked about as the guy. But in those first few days of camp, in the first 10 days, in the first couple of preseason games, you know, the rubber's going to meet the road, so to speak, on these offensive linemen, certainly. Defensive line, it's a little easier to close your eyes and see the rotation. With the offensive line, you know, I think those two spots especially are going to be fascinating to watch as they start putting the pads on.
And right before we leave you, we'll take a look at Blake Bortles and Steven Morris throwing to wide receivers. Right here in front of us, Gus Bradley watching closely and intently, of course, with his first and second rounders. We're all three involved in that one.
I may run some patterns here in a couple minutes, Shafe.
You might want to lose the coat before you do that.
I want to lose some weight, too. How about that?
I want to work on those hands a little bit.
I got a lot to work on, JP.
Jerry Sullivan's got his hands full enough already. Yeah, you run out there.
He wants no part of this.
Bortles, the number 3 overall pick out of UCF. A lot of Orlando folks have made their way up the road today and certainly for tomorrow's workout here. Steven Morris from the University of Miami, wearing number 6 in red. Worked with Jed Fish, the offensive coordinator at the U, for a couple of years before he came to Jacksonville. Of course, the 2 second-round picks, Lee and Robinson, getting work in today. Lee was a little later getting into town this week than the rest of the rookies. Came in, I believe, on Wednesday night, John, but he's here and working.
That's a long walk from California.
It surely is. Jerry Sullivan working closely with the receivers, of course. He'll stand as a cone during this drill, and they'll run around Sullivan for this route.
That's something maybe you and I could do to contribute. Be cones.
Stand out there.
Yeah.
Jed Fish out in the middle on about the 30-yard line. Taking a close look at his quarterbacks and receivers. It was funny watching the war room videos on Jaguars.com. Seeing Jed Fish's face every time Dave Caldwell made a phone call to a pick. Is this Blake Bortles? And his face lights up in the back. And after the second wide receiver was drafted, he's high-fiving guys in the war room. And rightly so.
Now he's got to get it done, right?
Hey, clock's
ticking. That's a turning point, yeah. So it's, yeah, it's. And again, he does have certainly some more weapons. And it's going to be interesting, especially with the wide receiver position, I think, to see how he uses these guys and to see how he uses the running backs. I mean, there's a lot more skill position players on this team than were last year.
Yeah.
At the same time, it is still a really, really young group. Toby Gerhardt, I believe, is the veteran out of that whole bunch we just talked about.
4 years in.
That's a young, young bunch. I think he's a veteran even over Cecil Shorts, if I'm not mistaken. So out of all your skill position, if you include Mercedes Lewis in that spot, Mercedes is by far the old man of that group. So as talented as this group may become, as young as it is, there are going to be some, I guess, hiccups and some learning curve early There's just no way to get around that.
Interesting you brought up Mercedes Lewis. With all these weapons, we'll find out if they are later in camp and such, but if, as projected, how does that affect Lewis's role? And does he have a chance to get loose out in the open a little more?
I think, first of all, I would think that's a reason that you very quickly decided that you're going to keep him around. You know, there's a little question among the fans and media last year with his contract. Would he be brought back? Well, he's a guy that you would think in the huddle, him and Chad Henne are the two guys that have been around the league long enough to know where all the bathrooms are and all the locker rooms they go to. So, but they believe, and certainly Jed Fish believes, that on the field, Mercedes Lewis is a guy who can have a significant number of catches. When I talked to Jed Fish right after the season last year, he talked about that if Mercedes had been healthy and really going in the offense, maybe 65 or 70 catches. You know, with this amount of skill position players, who knows if he gets to that. But Jed's certainly a believer that he can be a major factor in the offense in the passing game, which a lot of fans have been waiting for a while.
Blake Bortles is throwing to the receiver group closest to us on your screen. The second-round pick, Allen Robinson. The Jaguars traded two picks to move back into the second round to get Robinson out of Penn State. Coming up on the end of individual position work.
That'll be the end of us.
And that will be the end of us. John,
hopefully just for the day.
Well, we'll be back tomorrow. How about that? We'll have it inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush Mini, coming up a little bit later after practice today. There is open locker room today. We'll hear from Gus Bradley and Blake Bortles following practice. So stick with us here on Jaguars.com. John, I know you'll be knee-deep in writing today.
I will be knee-deep. And one final thing, it's always interesting to see some scouts kind of line in the field. And it's always a neat thing to see those guys on this weekend, because these guys have spent all year scouting guys, and they maybe have two or three guys that they've gotten in here. And this is really their chance. The scouts sort of want to make sure that their guys, so to speak, that they vouch for, can at least run around a little bit. So what you hope for as a GM when you come out here on a day like today, Caldwell, most GMs will say, you hope you don't see anybody, that you just look out there and go, whoops. So hopefully there won't be any whoops today.
Well done as always, John.
You too, JP.
Our thanks to Jeff Darlington from the NFL Network, and our thanks to Mark Long from the Associated Press. For John Osier, JP Shadrick, that's it for now for Jaguars.com Live from Rookie Minicamp.